Welcome to the New Earth Architectress, where we'll be exploring together what is an architectress, what is the New Earth, and how is the evolution in consciousness paving the way for your leading role in architecture. I'm your host, Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I'm so excited to share with you what's possible when you lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and your divine calling. If you're a woman architect or designer who's hearing a deep call to take your stand as an ancient temple builder of the future, welcome. Now is the time, and we are the ones. Welcome, all you beautiful builders, creators, architects, designers of the New Earth. Welcome to the Sacred Blueprint for Our New Earth interview series. This is a series that is gathering together the world's leading energetic design experts to hear their tips and tools and wisdom on how to build healing sanctuaries with the wisdom of nature. My name is Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I am your host for this series. I am an architect and an alchemical healer, also the creator of the Sacred Blueprint. This is a cutting-edge vessel of courses and programs for women architects and designers, as well as land stewards, visionary leaders, to help them birth their dream sanctuaries through a new modality that bridges spirit with architecture. This series is a response to a call I've been hearing on very high volume from Mother Earth, Mother Gaia, and the nature spirits. And they urged me, they kicked me in the butt to quit my job in conventional practice, conventional architecture, to pave a new way that is aligned with the spirit of the land and aligned with my clients' souls. And so this series is about exploring what's possible, the abundance, the magic, the healing, the awakening that's possible when we work with nature, when we work with nature's energies, when we work with the spirit of the land in a practical and conscious way, and help create the sanctuaries, the temples that humanity needs so much right now in these very challenging times. So today's talk, I've got an amazing, very special guest who is the director of Biogeometry Energy Systems. She is a biogeometry designer herself, as well as a building biologist. And she's going to share with us what biogeometry is, as well as share the benefit of using certain shape forms that emit at a certain kind of frequency, energy, vibration to create, promote healing, wellness in all different kinds of spaces and environments. I'm so honored and delighted to welcome Dorea Karim. Welcome to the series. Dorea.
It's great to be here. And I know we've talked a few times, so I'm looking forward to exploring a bit more with you and your audience.
Yeah, it's been a while too. So it's really great to have you back in the circle. And I'm excited to dive into biogeometry, this tool that is a lot of people are starting to study all around the world, not starting, have been for a long time. And it seems like the numbers are increasing. And a lot of the women architects and designers, quite a few of them actually, Dorea, that I've been mentoring and coaching for, you know, helping them to build their business, they've actually taken biogeometry and they're applying it. Yeah, they're applying it to their practices, their design practices. So, you know, for the women who are, I mean, I say women, but of course men are joining this series as well. That's just my expertise to coach women. But, you know, for the men and women who are architects, designers, even if you're designing your own sanctuary, if you're a property owner, what Dorea is going to share is going to be this window into the possibilities of how you can harmonize your environment through form, shape, architecture, and more. Doria, I'll leave it to you. So first, what is biogeometry? You want to give us an intro? Yeah.
Touched upon it a little here where you said it's using specific shapes. So it is a design language of shape. And actually, if we look at the way that we work in biogeometry, it's through what we call the physics of quality. And it's understanding shape as well as sound, color, number. They're all vibrational effects. And we can use shape, sound, color, to recreate specific energy qualities. And the one that we focus on very much in biogeometry is the quality of sacred sites. So that centering quality that we find in sacred sites, and how can we reproduce that? But I mean, more than that, one of the main things, because you mentioned a few of the students you're mentoring have taken the course. I mean, one of the main things also that we are, that's part of our goal, is to really teach students that come subtle energy, as I say it, as a language that they understand, a language that they can speak, and in a way that they can also use to understand other subtle energy practices. I think we've achieved that very much, because in our classes, we have students from all the backgrounds that you can imagine. And we're all able to, once we go through what we call the physics of quality, everybody has some common ground. And I think while you were speaking now, because I think one of the things you said is, so what are the benefits of approaching a build or an environment in this way? And so while you were doing that, I actually just popped open one of the studies that were probably one of the most known ones in biogeometry, but it has to do with in Switzerland, there was an installation of a cell tower, and the installation of that cell tower in a church, which is very significant because that church is the heart of the community. It does carry that sacred site energy that we're talking about, and disrupting that is a major, will cause major ripple effects in the community on top of the effect of the cell tower itself. So there was lots of protests from the residents. They were seeing lots of health effects. More than that, they were seeing lots of ecological effects. They were seeing effects with their animals. So we went in and provided, they tried many different types of solutions, and they did try different types of shielding solutions as well. And in the end, the biogeometry solution is what they went with. And the residents, you know, after a week held a press conference and they said, okay, we're not protesting the removal of the tower anymore. We're not seeing the issues we were seeing. And then 2 years later, there was a follow-up study done. And the animal part is really important because, of course, that's the part that really saves us from when people say placebo effect. So there was a major shift with the migrating birds. There was a major shift.
Right, because they'll say like, oh, it's just placebo, right? You know, they'll say similar things with homeopathy. Yeah, yeah.
And so I can just share this here because
absolutely. Please do share.
Quite, and this is because, like I said, this is what came to mind when you were doing the intro right here. And so this is what working with subtle energy as an approach to your site, what it can offer. So this is a whole study. It's on our website, but basically there's lots of different complaints that the residents had. We can scroll down and go through that, but this is the summary, where it's all of the number of complaints together of these families that were part of the study. Right. And you can see that the general consensus is that a person was not free of symptoms.
So right. That's like almost zero down there. Yeah.
So in this community, there wasn't really people saying we're free of all symptoms. Now, post the biogeometry solution and sustained 2 years later, you can see that what happened is that being free of symptoms became the norm.
Wow.
And this was achieved through, we don't just say the cell tower solution, it was achieved through a full environmental solution, taking into account geopathic stress, like I said, amplifying
incredible
the situation. And the thing is, if you look around today, most people, most of our societies actually fall in here on the left
side. Right. We're just like, we're dealing with it. We're just survive, like dealing with all this geopathic stress and the 5G now and all. Yeah.
Exactly. Because if you look here, I mean, let me just scroll down. Hopefully this won't give anybody a headache. But
if I lots of studies, biogeometry team, you guys have amazing studies. Solid, solid, solid. The divine masculine is strong in your mission.
So here we go. So you can see all the different types of
Wow.
Symptoms. And the thing is, from this, you can actually see that these are a lot of symptoms that people would generally be expressing that they have outside of this.
Right. Right.
Things like irritability, for example, exhaustion, right. Sleeping, nervousness. So, and then here, especially if we go into the mental and psychic complaints. So it's really significant
right.
to move a society from what we saw on the left to what we saw on the right.
It's massive. Yeah.
And I think, I mean, I'll also say like a big part of biogeometry as well. And I think this is quite important is when we talk about the divine feminine or the divine masculine, there's the approach that we take in biogeometry is a lot of people talk about spirituality and science being separate, or they try to explain spirituality scientifically. Now, the way to do it is to actually use spirituality practically. And that's how you know that you've achieved the balance between the masculine and the feminine, because that's what's going back to when we look at in ancient times, what we call the shift from the right brain perception to the left brain perception. And so what happened now is the shift has gone more towards that left brain perception. And it's what a lot of times we talk about, where we talk about the divine feminine coming, needing to come back to balance this out. But of course we can't forget about the role of how the divine masculine needs to show up within.
Absolutely. Within. Yeah.
And so when we begin to understand, and there was a golden era where we understood that quantity and quality were two sides of the same coin. And this is what we're seeing now, in that the way to approach this is to actually use spirituality practically. When you're doing that, then you've achieved a marriage where both are showing up.
Right.
So this is one of the main things actually that in biogeometry we try to tell people is that there's a problem where a lot of people are they think that there's this dissonance between the two. And what happens is what we're trying to show people in biogeometry is we can show the effects. We can meet scientific criteria. Students are getting their master's and PhD in biogeometry. Of course, what we always say is because we're dealing with subtle energy, the way that you do that is the type of study that you do has to be testing on biological systems.
Right. On physical forms or on Earth. Yeah.
But that also allows us to say that we have our own testing criteria as well. And this is what we're hoping for subtle energy sciences out there, is because at one point, what we need to be able to say is, okay, this might meet all the testing criteria of the mainstream science, but it does not meet the subtle energy testing criteria. And what is that criteria? How can we, how can we create,
make that visible, right?
Visible, yeah. Create a platform where coming from all of these different approaches, we can actually benefit each other. Because once we have a standard way of approaching it, then we can start exchanging ideas where it's no longer that if we're working together, where it's no longer that we're applying a biogeometry method or the method that you're applying for clients. We're applying both methods, but we have a same vibrational language from which to build upon. And that's actually what a vibrational language of shape achieves.
Beautiful. That's incredible. So, I love what you're talking about, you know, that clarity about, you know, the role of the divine masculine, role of the divine feminine, and how they, at one point, you'd have in the golden age that, you know, they were part of the same coin, right? The physics, the quality, as well as what was the other one that you were sharing? Quantity and quality, right? Quantity is more the masculine, quality is the feminine. I mean, we could make a whole list, right, of words that represent the divine feminine and masculine. But yeah, so the same coin, and there was a golden age that where they were united, and that they honored each other as well. What I want to ask you is about the quality of form. This, tell us more about these shapes. Like, for example, in this study and study that you just showed us, and how you applied a biogeometry remedy, you could say, to this antenna. What was applied?
So one of the major things, like I said, we had to go past the cell tower, also address geopathic stress, different things like that.
Okay. So okay.
Behind the antenna of the cell tower, and I actually have this here, it's sitting on the desk. This is a miniature version. Students use this now on sites to deal with different forms of environmental stress. And they can use this at distant sources of EMF, for example. But it was a much larger form of this. And we have one installed on the back of every antenna. And there's some shapes that some people might recognize here. So there's a torus shape, for example, in a specific.
Right. Yeah, proportion.
You do have to have it in a specific, it's not just any torus shape that will give you the centering quality. So a friend of mine actually showed this really well in an experiment. He does a lot of work with water, and he took blenders and had them create this vortex with different angles in the water. And he was able to show the angles that created structured water and the angles that didn't create structured water. So that's just something where it's not just
an example.
Shape.
Right. It's not like, oh, let's, you know, copy an image from the internet of the torus and paste and yeah. Yeah.
And this is actually important because this is one of the main things that we're trying to achieve in biogeometry is we try to say, okay, so we need to be able, because we have to realize that there was a door that we're trying to open now that was closed. So when we need some common ground, when we go back to certain traditions and we try to recreate some things that they were doing, this could even be something as simple as the golden ratio in design. We're aware of the quality that the golden ratio in design is trying to achieve. And it's one of that BG3 quality we're talking about. So we can apply that golden ratio, but then we're able to verify through our energy system if we've actually achieved that energy quality. And that's what brings us back to being able to work with the golden ratio as an actual vibration, because people aren't doing that. They're just using it as a rule now.
And so there's a danger there that it can just start to become almost dogmatic, or like people just accept it as is. And then all of a sudden, you know, everyone's obsessed with the golden ratio pattern or something, and they could actually be applying it incorrectly or not in the correct context, or there might be a motive behind it, right? That is not.
Their goal is energetic in nature without being aware of how to get in tune with that energy quality.
Right.
And so that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm pointing this out, this torus shape. And then when we're dealing with different, here we have different, this is an elongated hemisphere, a hemispherical shape. So for those deal with the emotional and spiritual plane of nature. And then we have specific number qualities as well.
Yeah, it's like all those discs I can see, most probably there's like a certain number of them interspaced at certain, it's very precise. And already, I mean, when I see it, it's I'm tingling all over. Yeah, yeah.
And then more than that, then you have here, I think it's hard to see because of the light, but we actually have two discs that we set at angles that we're looking for. So we can assess the angle that's being emitted.
Right.
And when we're creating shapes, I mean, like I said, we do teach a specific vibrational language. So for example, when we look at this, when I say it's emitting energy, it's based on what we would say is an energy that we call horizontal negative green. And so we have a color scale of qualities. That's what we use. And we will use pendulums that are based on different wavelengths or angles and get our body to be in tune with those to figure out which. So that's why we can have, once we learn how to measure in this way, we can have a discussion with a color scale being part of that universal scale that we can use to classify energy. And you, I mean, you have it in all different systems, right? Some
absolutely
classify yin yang. Some people will use a color system,
right? The chakras and very, you know, there's so many different, right.
And so through the physics of quality, what we explain is that these are absolute energy qualities. Our scale is a window to be taught, to be looking at these or assessing these as part of their holistic scale. When I say holistic scale, here it comes where we talk a little bit about the concept of universal harmonics. But this is just to explain, because sometimes when I say, okay, the energy of a sacred site, people might say, okay, so how are you actually assessing that? So when we have a color scale, for example, we know the birth of bijometry was actually studying the qualities that you have at sacred sites. And we found that there are three qualities that you always find occurring together. And when we look in different schools as well of French redesthesia, which was before bijometry, but we use the same color scale as in French redesthesia, we begin to understand the nature of different qualities. So shapes that produce, like I'm saying, the horizontal negative green, which is what we find here, have an energy emission. And so when we place these, this is why when we place them pointing at distant sources, pointing at the back of the antenna, it allows it to carry the specific numbers, the specific shapes, and the specific angle that we set, and superimpose that onto the wave coming off of that antenna.
So precise, Dorea. I mean, when you talk about how biogeometry was birthed, and that part of it was the study of these sacred sites and noticing, observing that there were certain qualities of energy there together and in combination creating these ultimately healing, harmonizing spaces, and so much more, right? Portals. Your father, Dr. Ibrahim Karim, as I understand, he was the main transmitter and began biogeometry. Just briefly, you know, for those who are like, well, how did this information come? How did they get so precise about it, right? Like, how do you know that this is actually working? I mean, and we know that you've done a lot of studies over the years, but would you share just a little bit about how your father received, studied, was open to this information? I mean, yeah, he was in Egypt, as I understand.
I mean, I think like everything else, when something develops, there's already a wealth of knowledge that it has developed based upon. And I think this is the same for bijometry. It's just having somebody who has a specific, I would say, set of circumstances. And his actually being, and this is, I mean, I'll start from the beginning and say why I'm saying this, but what happened with my father, we're an architecture family. So he had studied in ETH in Switzerland and was coming back to work with my grandfather, who's one of the most well-known architects in the Middle East. And he was coming to continue. They were doing lots of master planning. They did lots of master planning of different cities. And then as part of this work, there was an ancient Egyptian museum renovation, and they were specifically asking for my father, who at that time was a trained engineer, like I said. And you know, he said, okay, he's not available for this project at the time. And then he started being introduced to tools, energetic tools from ancient Egypt. Somebody was showing it to him, you know, saying, you know, they were doing this, they were doing, and they showed him different pendulum devices as well. And he said, it just wasn't, it wasn't part of his interests to go into this type of dowsing work until, but then he was exposed to it in a way which is working with it through qualities, which I would say is the same approach that we find in ancient Egypt. It brings everything kind of into a holistic view when you learn it in this way. And they told him, you know, he had been in Europe for a while. So at that time, the science of what we call physical radiesthesia, which is working with vibrational qualities, was overshadowed by dowsing, which is using a pendulum to connect with the subconscious. And so they told him, you know, go to the Maison de Radiesthésie in France and ask for these books. And he said, you know, I'm not even planning on going to France. And then he got a call a week later that he has to go to France.
You want me to do this, but I don't.
So he ended up in France. And after a few days in France, before he left, he said, okay, let me go to the Maison de Radiesthésie. And then he asked for these books and they said, oh, they're not here. And then a woman said, wait, are you the Egyptian? We've been waiting for you. And she gave him all of these books about the French radiesthesia and told him that she knows that he's going to bring this to light. And I don't know the exact wording that.
Wow.
That
it's like he had all these guides guiding him to this point.
Exactly.
Wow.
To this one point. And then the reason I was saying it really depends on being in a certain set of circumstances to bring this about, because I did think it needed to fall into a designer and architect's hands to be given birth as by geometry. Because when you learn French radiesthesia as a scale of assessing the subtle energy system and providing solutions, it's a vast subject of knowledge, and there's a lot in there with how you can assess the energy system, how you can provide solutions. If anything, a lot of the most famous French radiesthesists were actually, you have Mermet, who was a traveling monk and would provide healing services. So there's a lot there towards looking at just the human body. But he also felt like he's not a doctor, and a lot of that exists in the sense of, and it's being practiced. I mean, we might not when I have courses, a lot of times in Asia, I see that traditional Chinese medicine is very much a part of their culture. It's very much practiced. It's got thousands of years of, if you want to
study and testing and proven.
And they have ways of assessing the energy system and ways. So it had to be an architect where he looked at it in a different way, where he looked at the energy of sacred sites, because he knew the history of these sites. Mm-hmm. And when looking at ancient Egypt as well, I mean, one of the major things when we look at it from a subtle energy perspective that people don't realize is when they look at the pyramid, they want to dissect the pyramid shape and they replicate the pyramid shape. So when they do that, they don't realize that the main secret of the pyramid is actually the land that it's on.
Right. Where is it located? It's orientation and location. Yeah.
Because when we look at shapes and we begin to study what shapes do what, well, pyramids and dome shapes, which are both very much a part of sacred architecture, are energy emitters.
Yeah.
And so the secret to using these shapes is actually being aware of where are we placing them. They need to be placed on a power spot. If they're not placed on a power spot, then you're not aware of what you're emitting in the space.
Right.
So a lot of people,
it's amplifying, it's broadcasting, it's spreading all that information out. Yeah.
And a lot of times now, when we're replicating these shapes, it's a problem because we're replicating them in modern environments that are full of electromagnetic fields and a lot of different issues that now are being amplified if we haven't studied where they're being placed on. So this is where, but now going back to, as well, an architect and a master planning and understanding that these were locations that were, first of all, even animals would gravitate to for healing. that were known, that were part of different rituals, traditions, that since the birth of humanity, we've been going towards these sites. And once you also get very much into history, we understand that they're not tied to a specific religion. Religions would come and go, but still use the same sites. And so, and more than that, and this is why we actually use the word centering, that they can be beneficial to any subtle energy system, regardless if we're dealing with the same organ being over stimulated or under stimulated. It will bring them into balance. And so,
got it. So it's not, there's just that. I mean, I want to say paradox, but it's much more profound than just mere paradox. So what you're saying is that it has the capacity to bring something up to neutrality.
Exactly.
And it also has the capacity to bring something down to neutrality, neutrality also being harmony.
Exactly. So that's the, our definition of the centering effect.
Right. Yeah.
So that's where, and so then now, this is the energy quality that he was striving to create in the home environment.
Hmm.
Because if we can recreate this energy in the home environment, then we don't have to, where, for example, you can't create, you have to use the centering quality, because you can't, if you're just using, for example, different colors, well, those can have a stimulating effect, or they can have a dampening.
Yeah, they could be soothing, or they could trigger you. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
So this created the key to being able to actually have a design language that would be beneficial to any person living in that space. And on top of that, create that healing sanctuary, or, you know, or that environment where the complete energy exchange on a multidimensional level between the human being and the home is centered. That's always the goal of biogeometry.
Wow, that's so beautiful. Yeah, and this power place, it's so important what you shared about the power places as well, that it's important for us to know that they're not tied to a particular religion. Most, you know, they're not. I mean, it's a gift of the earth and its connection to the cosmos. And that is that. And, you know, it's a question is, you know, okay, who is in conversation with that site in any given period of time in humanity's evolution? Different ways of having a conversation with it. Some are not respecting it. Some are respecting it. And yeah, it, you know, we can see, right? I mean, some of these ancient sites will have temple upon temple upon temple built, right?
For the
I think I remember when I was studying alchemical energy healing, which is very much rooted also in the healer at the time, she would say the shamanic mysteries of Egypt. I think that it calls for a more modern name right now, but yeah. So I remember there was a meditation with Elephantine Island, and that there are these temples upon temples and temples, and also Ephesus, where I lead women architects and designers. I mean, Dorea, that Ephesus is one of the biggest power places in the world and a site of a great mystery school. And what's really special about that particular mystery school in my research and in my readings is that both priests and priestesses could be trained there, which was rare for priestesses to be initiated there as well. It wasn't only for the local community, or it was international. So for people who are coming from the East, from China, from North Africa, I mean, this was a big, big hub. Hey, I am popping in to share a very exciting announcement. I am leading a live online sacred ceremony and seminar on December 12th, 2025. At 5 p.m. Istanbul time, in collaboration with my incredible collaborator, metaphysical artist, Anemona Krishan. And this session It's a two-hour session, is on discovering the ancient temple secrets of Ephesus. And this is going to support you to up-level your prospering architecture practice and open the way for your soul's highest mission, which is to bridge spirit with form in your architecture practice. So this very special, one-of-a-kind event is only for women architects and landscape architects who are committed and ready to do what it takes to bridge spirit with form and open the way for their abundance, their joy, and attract divinely aligned clients who love paying you large sums of money for your spiritual intuitive gifts, and open the way for the sanctuaries of our new earth. We are building a movement. This is next level. This is the next level of the Sacred Blueprint and my business, and I want you to be a part of it. And we're going to build the temples of our future together with our divine feminine flow, with our feminine intuitive magic, and in partnership with Mother Earth, the nature spirits, our cosmic guides, and our souls. So I can't wait to see you there. Registration details are in the captions below, and it's going to be amazing. All right, see you there in our circle. Bye-bye. And what I've witnessed there, while my style isn't to always use tools, although I do use a pendulum, a crystal pendulum, and I do use dowsing rods, my path has led me to really be experiencing the healing effects through my communion with nature, as well as the women that I'm leading there. And so what I want to say is that it's incredible to see the transformation that people go through when they visit a site like this, when it is done out of respect, right? Permission, gratitude, right? There's a safe container being created there. I mean, of course, you know, if we just stomp all over the sacred site and just take a bunch of pictures, you know, we could actually go more off whack, maybe, right? So just all that you're sharing, I'm just seeing all these moments, these profound moments that we had there. And it's like, oh yeah, thanks, Dorea, for bringing the words to it. Like, oh right, it's the centering quality. Oh right, it's the BG3. Oh yeah, okay, we can measure this and we can actually work with this in our day-to-day life.
And I think there's two things with what you're saying. One is it's exactly, one of the goals is exactly what you're saying, where we want to be able to have a language that we can all speak. And by being able to touch upon that, that's in a way what the tool gives us. It gives us the ability to work towards the same goal and exchange really easily. So you know, if you're sharing with me a plan that you did architecturally, for example,
right,
there can be, I might have, through my intuition and my vocabulary and my background, a different way of wording things than you might. And
right,
so the tool, what it actually does is it brings us closer to speaking the same vibrational language, which goes beyond either of our backgrounds and brings us closer to this goal. Now, of course, you don't always need a tool depending on what it is that you're,
right,
you're doing.
Yeah.
But it's great to have an assessment scale that we can.
Good to have a check. It's good to have a check, right? When I'm dealing with geopathic stress on my property, on my site, I mean, doing the work, right? For ourselves too. Oh my God. Like you need a check. Cause sometimes it's like, you're too tired. You're too, right. You're stressed or you're just unsure. You maybe have doubts. It still happens to me too. Yeah.
And for me, I think one of the biggest things is it actually provides a sense of community. Because yes. I think that a lot of people are gravitating to biogeometry with different backgrounds and different approaches. But what they're finding in our community is that we can speak a similar language, and it's not that they're starting from scratch, but they can learn this language and be able to actually tell us and other people more about what they're doing. And that's just, I mean, it's great to have a platform where everybody doing this work can be connected. Yeah. And then I would say the other important thing I think that you said is very much the concept that schools should be placed on power spots. I mean, this is one of the things that's extremely important because...
Oh, that's so interesting, Doria. You know, it's so interesting that that's what you're hearing too from what I'm saying, because I'm saying mystery school, right? And so I'm thinking esoteric wisdom, I'm thinking, right, like I'm thinking like the spiritual schools. But when you say schools should be placed on power spots, it's like, oh wait a second, could any kind of school be placed on a power spot, right? Like, tell me more about what you're seeing. Yeah.
It's one of the ways. So it goes back to, again, this concept of now we've divided this, if you want to say science and spirituality, or left and right brain, right? Now we've divided them.
It's very, yeah, it has been separate for a long time. I think it's starting to come together now, but yeah.
Even terms like temple sciences show you that they were once merged, you know? And so places, I would say places of exploration of knowledge, if we can just say, you know, a school is that might be the traditional school that we're thinking of. It might be a hub for adults to meet and exchange information.
Right. Could be a community, right? Yeah.
Want to put it, you know, not, but the idea is when we're looking at the energy of a sacred site, how do we go ahead and spread it through a community? And one of the ways, so there's two ways. One is we need to identify the movement of those sacred sites in a larger space. And what happens when you do that is, imagine you're building a community now, and just imagine that you're doing, you know, the road and roads coming off of it. Okay.
Right. So site plan.
Yeah. So not you specifically, but somebody just look at the site, draw a line through it, and draw different places and place things. Okay, fair enough. But you're not realizing that that line is an energetic cut on the site. It's like a knife to the land. Okay, so instead, if you could just get us, and the lines themselves are really easy to work with from a design perspective, because a lot of times we are dealing, yes, they might not be parallel to your site, but they are, you could be dealing with very much straight pathways with a little bit of curves here and there. And once you have these pathways identified with lines branching off of them, to connect the whole site is really simple, and you're moving with the energy that's there. It's like you're plugging in your site. So that's one way to keep that whole community connected. But then you start looking at the places where we meet. How can we spread this energy quality? Well, schools is a great way to do it. Markets is a great way to do it. Whatever community public places you want is a great way to do it. Find if you have a community, well, have it from a power spot, have everybody meeting and filling up their water from there. This is taking, you know, principles that already exist, of course, from ancient times, because that's what we would find, you know, in Roman times, that they would find the two main lines and then use that to identify, to then build around. Or in ancient Egypt, where we'd find that, you know, if you had the pharaohs, the of course, you had the pyramids placed on a power spot, or the pharaoh was placed on a power spot. So you can bring these principles now to modern communities and modern times. And I do think that schools is very important for this. Like I said, schools, marketplaces, any gathering places, really, we do see it. I mean, it is implemented a lot where you, for example, in Europe, you have, and of course in the Middle East, you have different things like the churches and the mosques and in Asia, the temples, which were the cores of communities and maybe still are the cores of communities.
Right. In some cultures, some places. Yeah. I have two questions. One is, there are some geomancers that will talk about this, and I've and myself as well. in the perspective of biogeometry, and I know it's kind of funny to say in the perspective of biogeometry, just because it's a language that really holds so much higher truths, so that it's not just mere perspective. But can you create a power spot on a site? One. And number two, when we're talking about power spots, there may be some people in the audience who don't really quite understand what is the definition of a power spot. Two questions. Yeah.
So there's two different aspects. Can you create a power spot on a site? You can. You can use design. I mean, basically, when you use design principles to create your home, then it recreates the energy of a sacred power spot. If one of the main things that we try to actually do is on every site, we do find these lines that we call the BG3 lines. And so how do you assess? So we have different ways. And I actually mentioned that this time I would really show, I mean, they are tools, but it can actually give a bit more.
Yeah. Please show. I love all these tools. They're so amazing.
What it is.
A colleague of mine came in to, and that could be for another talk, but she measured the Benker lines, and she helped me to confirm some of the geopathic stress that I harmonized, and we did some work together. So it's been, I've been noticing shifts and changes already in our home. Yeah.
So there's different things. So I'll show this for the,
power spot question.
To the Benker lines and Curry lines. But here, so this is one of the tools we have, for example, and it's a little angular disc. And basically you might be able to see that you can see different letters here. So this indicates things like blue, indigo, violet, ultraviolet. So we can actually resonate with different energy quality bands. And so it allows us to test which ones are present on a site. And so for the sacred quality, the sacred energy, we're looking for three specific bands. Negative green that we call gray. We say horizontal negative green that we call, it's in the gray range. We don't call it gray. We call it horizontal negative green. The ultraviolet energy quality and the gold energy quality. Now, when it actually comes to geopathic stress, what we do is we have a way of identifying geopathic stress through resonant angles after it's been corrected. And that's one of the things that we do, in that our approach with the site is always first to amplify the centering quality until the geopathic stress is corrected. And then we begin our work on the site. That changes the relationship with the site. And actually,
because you're dealing with all these problems all the time.
and you know what? A lot of times we get clients when they're coming in for design services, a lot just want the service of assessing the site.
Right.
And we give that to them because we say we don't do it, because our resonance with the site is purely working with the centering quality until we get to the level where we've designed the home to be amplifying or in resonance with that centering quality. We've identified, we've used it, we've done everything. And then we go ahead and assess that we've corrected all the imbalances.
Hmm.
But in every site you have imbalances, and in every site you have things that are beneficial and things that are negative. So that's the main approach. And then when we're coming to assess, I mean, it gets to a little bit of a more complicated scale. So you can see here, this is one of our tools where we actually go in, and every single one of these strips has a shape dealing with what we call one of the planes of nature. So things like here, you can see we're dealing with the physical, going into the emotional, mental, and then we go up to, through the vital, up to physical, vital, emotional, mental, up to the spiritual. And we use that to, we have to verify that we're getting BG3 on all of these levels.
So are you going like one by one and clearing? I mean, my colleague also did help with, you know, before we started moving in with that process. And we did notice some changes occur in our life after that, like that really helped us to pave the way for this house construction. So are you going one by one and clearing those levels, or?
Well, if you're talking about the house design, then what we're actually doing is we're working on, because when you're designing, you're not designing with so many tools. We still have a flexibility where you're designing and you're being creative. There's some things that
That's what's great about biogeometry. Yeah. Yeah.
There's some things, and they will come naturally after they've been applied a few times. Like there's some things where we will want the design to have what we call a clockwise rotational movement to it. That's something that we look for, but you'll find yourself naturally doing it. The relationship between the different parts of the building, we like being able to shift and rotate and see that relationship between them. We're not sitting assessing every step, but when we have the final design and we're getting, then we can check it for a strong level of BG3, and then we verify that we have it on all the levels.
Right.
But sometimes if you're going and checking level by level, you can, but as a designer, you might feel like it's a tedious process.
Very tedious. Yeah.
Instead, we want you to focus on being in resonance with that centering quality while you're designing. Okay. And then we
That's really, yeah. That information, then that informs when you're in resonance with that centering quality, then the design is already being birthed in a way that ideally is in resonance with that centering quality.
We do have a simple pendulum. It's just one pendulum and it's pre-adjusted, pre-calibrated to BG3. And for designers, it's really quick to use, keeps your whole design aligned the whole time, allows it. And it was actually, it's called the BG16 pendulum. And it was developed for designers and architects outside of the biogeometry curriculum.
I should get one of those.
It was developed when he first developed it to teach architecture students. And it's really great because in retesthesia, and I see this a lot, but in retesthesia, sometimes you might worry about influencing the pendulum, especially if somebody comes from a background where they've picked up a pendulum.
You can have ghosts influence a pendulum. If you're not really practiced geomancer, there's a lot that can influence a pendulum. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And for us, it's even just if you ask a question while you're holding the pendulum, that's why for us, it's very specific focusing on that.
The physical map or property or
quality. But we found that with designers, very much while we're designing, it's not an example where you're most likely going to influence the pendulum. When we're first teaching students, you can see it when they first learn to assess things based on their energy system, the difference in accuracy as compared to when they get to the design section where we're just looking for angles. There's very little in influencing the energy system, and design is a great way to practice this skill, even if it's not implemented in design. And
Love it. Yeah.
And so it was a tool that could successfully be used by a lot of designers.
So what I'm hearing from this then in relation to my question regarding the power spots, that through this process of elevating I don't even know if elevating is the correct word, but bringing the site up to a level where it's enhanced, you're working with the existing BG3 energies, but in combination with the design, are you saying that then based on the lines and the drawing and, because I know it from my experience, I've been starting to feel that it's already starts by drawing the site plan.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times
it's like working telepathically. You could draw forms on a map.
Exactly. I mean,
and affect the energies and actually through those forms create a power spot.
Yes.
Is that correct? According to
there's two things.
Your perspective. Yeah.
So I can give you a design plan that has BG3, regardless of any site that it's placed on. But when we come to place it on the site, there's certain ways of getting that building itself to be in resonance with the BG3 lines of the site. And that can be orientation. It could be orientation of specific elements in the home as well to the existing lines on the site. And automatically that creates a communication and resonance between them.
Right. Hence, it becomes a power place. Yeah. A power spot, power place maybe. Yeah.
And I mean, you can choose to assess that. At the end of the day, you can assess it on your own health. And that's what we do. Where when
right.
you go to
the that's what's most important. Yeah.
Exactly. You can check your, I mean, we talked about chakras. You can mention, you could check your chakras. You should be getting them all. I mean, we'd say rotating clockwise, or you should be getting them all balanced. If not, then you're not really in a power spot. Because your body's constant information exchange. When I say getting them all balanced, doesn't mean poof, there's no health problems. But on the subtle energy level, we're in constant information exchange. So in the site, I should be getting them balanced. And you can do that in a home. You know, look at, walk out the home, walk in the home, assess the effect on your health. And that's part of the goal that we're trying to achieve. I would say, I mean, you mentioned building biology in the beginning. Building biology has a very similar goal of using being in touch with keeping nature and the home as self-regulated as possible, so that things like temperature and energy exchange and everything are working in a way to help balance our health naturally. But on top, and of course the building materials, and but on top of that, now with biogeometry, is we're looking at it as a multidimensional energy exchange system. And when you apply all of these different things together, you really get what you know, some people, what you get back to the knowledge that we lost, I would say, without having to let go of where we are today. You can still have modern technology.
Right.
You can still appreciate, what science and medicine has given us, but have a key to the things that people feel are lacking when they approach or look at these things.
I love it. I love it. I have one more question related to the power spot, and just a clarification for, you know, just for some people who may be like, oh, well, what does she mean by the BG3 lines? And of course, this is an introduction for some of you who are, you know, just learning about it. Some of you really understand in the audience exactly what Dore is talking about. Do the BG3 lines, are they also water lines, or are they more the straight, like, because there's the ley lines and then there's water lines?
Both carrying the BG3 quality. In ancient, when we talk about the major power spots, you're right that they are related to water crossings.
And I mean, just like incredible, my experience with just intuitively visioning and journeying with these sites, how much primal water is actually present and speaking through the site, and in a very incredible configuration. Yeah.
You are correct that when we talk about power spots, and the ones that come to mind, power spots, those are the ones a lot of times where most of them have intersecting water lines.
Yeah.
Creating that power spot energy.
Yeah. Wow. So much to investigate, review, and learn. I love this conversation, and I love the light that's being emitted right now all around you. I think that's a beautiful, it's just such a beautiful sign that there's a synchronicity and an alignment, and the beautiful work that you and your family and your team are doing and helping.
Great to be here and a part of your community. I can feel them behind you. And so it's great to be in the presence of this circle.
Oh, thanks, Doria. Thank you so much. As we wrap this talk up, I'm sure a lot more of our listeners will want to hear more, or learn more rather, about biogeometry. How can they get in touch with you, your team? What's available as resources to start learning more, or maybe even advancing, depending on where you're at?
I mean, they can always go to the website, biogeometry.com. And if you search on Amazon, there's also a few biogeometry books.
Yeah, great books. I recommend some of the books. And I think your father wrote a one that's relatively recent. I haven't read it yet. I'm looking forward to,
So this is...
He did it. Yeah. He birthed it.
Exactly.
Yeah, great. Hidden reality. Amazing. So everyone, make sure that you scroll down below the video and you'll get information, all the links that will take you to biogeometry resources that, yeah, I highly recommend it. And this is, I think this is really part of the new way to build the sacred blueprint.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. No,
I mean, thank you so much for having me again. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you so much. And many blessings to your family, as well as to your students and to your work moving forward.
Thank you. Thank you. Likewise.
All right, everyone, make sure you watch all the rest of the interviews. We have such an amazing circle of energetic design experts in this series, and you're going to gain so many tips and tools on how you can build a healing sanctuary with the wisdom of nature and start to apply it to your own design practice or apply it to your own project on the land. So delighted that you joined today, and much love. Thanks, Daria. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into the New Earth Architectress. It's my intention to inspire more women architects and designers to come out of hiding and unleash their intuitive powers to lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and their divine calling while making a powerful impact on Earth. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on iTunes, and share this episode with women who you know are feeling the nudges to take the big leap and bridge spirit with design. You can find out more about me and the New Earth Architectress movement by visiting aisharosemelodyhassan.com. Until next time, gule gule.